Our good friend Vince Ferrara, his appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment. Vince, how are you?
Good. I'm Jimmy. How you guys doing?
Doing quite well. We look forward to you joining us for this next hour. And Jimmy Hyams, at this very same time, we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for a very special guest who's made some time for us.
Absolutely. Desmond Oliver. He was an assistant coach at Tennessee for 6 years under Rick Barnes, did a terrific job, and he was hired as a head coach at ETSU April the 5th. Des, how you doing?
Great. How about you guys?
We're doing fantastic. Thank you for joining us. What have these last 2 weeks been like since you got the job at ETSU?
Well, I've hired a staff. I've re-recruited my players and brought back. I think, you know, there's probably five of our top seven are back, or four of our top six, probably something like that. We've signed three players. I'm going to probably sign two more, and, you know, been out, you know, talking to, you know, donors and program supporters and in the community and, you know, learning how to navigate campus. So a lot's going on the last 2 weeks, but it's all been productive and it's all been good.
Absolutely. It sounds like it. What made the ETSU job attractive to you?
Say it again.
What made the East Tennessee job attractive to you? I know they've had good tradition. A couple of years ago, won 30 games. What made it attractive to you?
Well, that's it. I mean, they've been a great program for a long time. You know, when Steve Forbes was here, Steve Forbes has been 5 years here, and he averaged 26 wins a year. His teams had talent. You know, like, ETSU is not a mid-major job. It's a mid-major plus high-major job, in my opinion, in a mid-major conference. And so you're going to go to a place where, you know, you're arguably one of the top, you know, two programs in the league every year. And kids aren't afraid, good players aren't afraid to say yes to you. Being here in the state, I knew Tennessee, you know, spending 6 years at UT, and knew some of the people that worked at ETSU. So to me, it just made sense. Logistically, it made sense. And even a year ago, when Steve Forbes left, I was really, really interested in the job. And, you know, didn't have a chance to talk to those guys then.
Coach, congratulations on your new post. And I'm just wondering, are you sleeping just about 2 hours a night? Because I'm very impressed with how much you've accomplished in your first 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know what? Sleep has not been something that's come easily. I've been up in the mornings early, you know, 5:30, 6 a.m. in the mornings. And my staff and I are probably in the offices until about midnight every night. So, not much sleep going on, but I have a great staff. They work really hard. They're connected. They're connecting with our kids on campus, and our guys are spending time with us every day. So, I couldn't ask for a better start from a standpoint of just the people around the program being supportive and our players buying in.
Well, that's where I was going to go next. It was a neat picture to see when you had your first team dinner. What has it been like to get to know a new group of guys and start to show them what your vision for the program and their time at ETSU will be like?
Well, you know what? I've been talking about, you know, like winning championships from day one with our guys. And myself has been not just winning championships on the court, but winning championships in life. And talking about small victories in life start with how you conduct yourself every single day. From eating breakfast in the morning to going to class to being a good person off campus to practice and really trying to use basketball early on to connect the dots. And you know what? As a group, they seem to really embrace that concept. And like they're excited to hear more about how they can make it in life and graduate and get a job, and just prepare themselves for the next 40 years.
Desmond, what is the makeup of that roster? Talk about what kind of talent for our listeners that maybe aren't as familiar with that team and how it's going to be made up like for next year.
I think we, in the backcourt, I think we've got some really good veteran guards, starting with our point guard. Our wings are long and athletic. We have a big man that's a grad student that's going to have a chance to be one of the better big men in the league, I think, next year, based on what he does, and that's just rebound and be physical. I think we still need some help, you know, need some pieces, and the pieces might be on the front line, you know, trying to find another center that can post up and score inside the paint. I need somebody on my team with some size and girth, like Grant Williams did for Tennessee, like Schofield at times, like Folkie did last year and the year before, that we can play through, you know, late in the shot clock, play through in the half court. I'm not sure I've got that yet, but I have a team that's fast. We can shoot it. We're athletic. We're experienced. And the guys that we've signed, I think, will all come in next year and be to add some minutes to the table and help us try to form a 8 to 10-man rotation and play fast and free and hopefully be really good defensively.
Obviously, you've complimented Rick Barnes through the years, and you know what a great program that he runs, and the beliefs that you'd be on par with so much. But what are some of the things that you guys did at the University of Tennessee that will be some of the more important things that you're implementing there at ETSU?
Well, you know, Coach Barnes, first and foremost, he taught all of us, from Chris Ogden, Rob Lanier, myself, to Kim English, you know, in the short time Kim was there, to Mike Schwartz next. He taught all of us how to run a program, how to build a culture, and have that culture turn into a standard. And so the consistency that Coach Barnes has had from day one in our program at Tennessee till now, and just in terms of how you conduct your life on and off the court, I think that's the beauty of what he's all about, is just that, you know, getting the most out of people, but being consistently good every single day. And so I've tried to steal some of that in my own personality, my own way of saying things, and bring that same mindset to the table. And you know what? Coach Barnes is special at hiring the right people and recruiting. And so the type of people in my program as coaches, the guys that we sign and bring in our program, like Tennessee, have got to be stars and fit, you know, fit me like a glove, like our staff, you know, fit Coach Barnes, you know. So that's been pretty much been the most part of it, is coaches taught us how to lead and prepared all of us to sit in that next chair and mentor and lead young people.
Our guest, Desmond Oliver, head coach at ETSU, was hired there April 5th from the Tennessee staff. Coach, there were about, I was told, 10 people in the transfer portal at one point at ETSU. You had said you were not going to beg them to stay and play. What was your message to convince some of those in the transfer portal to return to your program?
Well, and so day one, talking to my team on that Monday the 5th, the message was pretty clear. It was, I want you guys to all stay. You guys are very talented. However, I want you guys to stay because you realize it's the right fit for you and your careers and the right fit for ETSU basketball. And so a lot of those guys that were on the, you know, on the fence came to every workout, came to all of our team meals, spent time after practice, came back at night to get some more shots up, and they just bonded with me and my staff. And probably three of those guys came out the portal, and it happened to be probably three of our best players. And so, you know, mind you, there's been still several guys who stayed in the portal. I think one or two guys probably started last year and played major minutes. But my thing is fit. If what we do doesn't fit you as a student athlete, then I'm fine with guys moving on and doing something different. If we do fit you, then please feel free to stay, buy in, let's work together, let's work on getting better, and just see next year, how much better can we get? How many more games can we win next year? Can we shock the world and be really competitive in our conference?
What is your recruiting footprint?
Well, the footprint has always been recruit inside out, right? We talk about recruiting talent, and what is talent for us? Talent is size, skill, basketball IQ, and feel. And then starting in your backyard, you know, starting in, you know, Knoxville and close cities near Johnson City, and having a feel for programs, for AAU programs, high school programs, and players within 5 hours to 5.5 hours to campus. I believe that parents will drive their kids and drop their kids off to college up to 5.5 hours. So my blueprint is, I want to make sure that my staff and I, that we are aware of who those top players are, and that we got those guys on campus, you know, for unofficial visits, for football games, for elite camps, that we know those people. And then when the time is right and COVID's gone and we're back to the, you know, to the contact periods, that we're getting down and we're touching, you know, touching ground at high school campuses and seeing those prospects. There's so many young people who can come and impact our program in the Carolinas, in Tennessee, in Alabama, in Georgia, even in Florida in certain places. And my staff and I, we've got to be strong in those areas and still take advantage of our international contacts in Toronto and Canada and Africa maybe, or Serbia, and every now and then pull one or two kids every 4 or 5 years from those areas.
Coach, you've mentioned your staff a couple of times, and it really seems like you're excited with the group that you've assembled. I think it's really, really neat that among those that are going to help you build this program is Lucas Campbell. And I'm just wondering, what's it like to have somebody that you've spent so much time with join you at ETSU?
Well, so one, I wanted to make sure that at least one of my staff members was someone that was at UT that was there with me all those years. I mean, Lucas has been with me for 6 years. You know, 4 as a player, 2 as a GA. And so he knows me. I know him. He's great with young people. He can still play the game of basketball some. So as far as, you know, jumping out there and practicing every now and then, he could do that. But more importantly, he's seen the standard. He saw what Coach Barnes built and how he did it as a player and then a coach the last 2 years. And so I thought that was invaluable to bring to a program that was trying to get back to excellence. Get back to winning championships, and have a young man that I could say he played with Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and Jerome Bowen and Bowen and Lamonte Turner, you know, and Kyle. He played with all those great players, and John Fulkerson, and, you know, and so he's seen those guys and knows what hard work looks like and knows what leadership looks like. Listen, late nights when these guys are hanging out, they're hanging out with guys that are around their age, with guys like Lucas. He could tell those stories as well as anybody in my program can because he experienced them. That's invaluable.
Coach, wondering what you think about Kim English's opportunity at George Mason.
Really happy for Kim. It's rare for a guy that young to have that kind of success in getting a job at that level right away. But Kim's unique. You know, talented player in college, really good young coach. I'm happy for him. Really happy for him.
And then I imagine you have the utmost confidence that it's just a matter of time before Michael Schwartz is running his program as well, right?
No doubt. And you know, the hard thing for us is, you know, being assistant coaches is not so much getting a job, but getting the right job, like being patient and waiting for the right job. Like Mike can get a job. Schwartz wants the right job. He's earned the right to go someplace that's one of the better programs in the league that has a chance to win games and win championships, as opposed to going somewhere where it's a colossal rebuild and historically they've fallen short for 10, 15 years.
Hey, Desmond, thank you so much for joining us. You did a terrific job at Tennessee. We know you'll do the same at ETSU. We will stay in touch. Best of luck to you, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you guys as well. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Coach.
Desmond Oliver, head coach, ETSU.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. And we've got more with Vince Ferrara coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal. With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest this hour, Vince Ferrara. And if you have a question or comment for Vince and everybody to break down, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Vince's appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment. And Vince, since we opened by talking about basketball, what have you thought in terms of all that has transpired with Tennessee basketball since you last joined us?
Incredible. A lot. The perception of where this program will sit next year in terms of competitiveness and the direction it was going. I think people were still kind of down, obviously, from the end of the year and then hearing about a lot more players leaving than coming in. And at the time, you really only had Justin Powell. Now you add a couple of high-level signees in Jonas Adu and Brandon Huntley Hatfield on top of Jemai Meshack and Quentin Dabunje, Kennedy Chandler, everybody already knew about as well. But now you get John Fulkerson back on top of that. Now you have something to really sink your teeth into and get excited about, because it's not just the talent coming in and coming back in the case of John Fulkerson, who certainly we talked to him on the baseball broadcast, John, and talked to the media today. Didn't want his career to end like that, and he got the signal that, hey, that's not the way he wanted his Tennessee career to come to an end. So he has a chance to right the wrongs of last year for whatever reason and why he didn't have the kind of year that many expected. But you bring him back, the chance to get better, but then also you address needs in the offseason with the signees. I think that's the biggest thing, is you've addressed size, post, and then shooting. And then also in a guy like Meshack, he's the kind of player that fits Rick Barnes and just being a tenacious defender. And I wonder if he's got some of that bulldog that this roster missed last year. So that could be another trait that they didn't have last year that I think they could benefit from the remake of this roster. It's crazy to look at where we were not that long ago in looking at, all right, you're trying to project what the roster might look like. There was only, until John Fulkerson announced he was coming back, you were looking at only 5 players returning off of last year's team. Everybody we knew of that would be a part of next year's team, in addition to that, was going to be a newcomer. And all you knew about was Josiah Jordan James, Victor Bailey, Olivia Kamwa, Santiago Vescovi, and Uroš Plavšić. And now you've added John Fulkerson on top of that, plus 6 new players. You're still going to have, the way it sits, as many newcomers as you will returning players. Much different look, but I think some hope because of those addressed needs.
Do I want to work in another quick break? But before we do, it was really cool to see Fulkerson throw out the first pitch, and even more cool to see the reception here at the ballpark. And then, as you tweeted out, it was like a rock star over here in the landing to our right here, just to see here on the plaza how so many people just wanted to get a picture or say hi.
Exactly. I mean, we saw from our vantage point, and TV was, the broadcast was talking about him as well, as he went down to join the legends of Lindsey Nelson and hung out with them for a while. He's very grateful for it. He had his baseball jersey on and just looked the part, other than being 6'9", which is not like normal student athletes. There's normal students on campus. But, man, it was just neat, and there's a great love. I've said this before. I think he's one of the most popular student athletes that Tennessee has on campus right now, and maybe going back a while as well. He is right up there. And I think in that moment of him deciding to return, fans weren't thinking about, oh, you didn't have – the kind of year that you wanted to. They just appreciated his love for Tennessee, the way he expressed himself, and obviously giving them a little bit more help in the post and in terms of leadership on this team next year.
We've got spring football, so many things to talk about. We've got more with Vince Ferrara coming up. His appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment. Go to the phones where Steve joins us. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey. I called, yesterday and asked Rob about practice, and he said the deal Saturday was closed doors, didn't know anything. And then Jimmy said some stuff, and I couldn't understand if he was saying they were injured at some point in practice or whether the coach had mentioned them as looking good. And that, I thought he said Merrill.
Walker Merrill, the receiver,
small,
is looking good.
And the kid, the big guy from Alabama that some people categorized as a receiver in last year's class.
D. Beckler?
I thought he mentioned him. And then Rob spoke up and said something about Simmons.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if they were just saying they'd heard they looked good, or whether they were injured, or what the deal was.
Elijah Simmons has looked good. And I mentioned D. Beckwith. Is that who you're talking about, Beckwith?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he's looked good. He's not injured. And Walker Merrill has had a really good camp.
Right.
So they feel good about what those have done. There have been a number of injuries. Jeremy Banks and Roman Harrison haven't done much. Jabari Small didn't do much in the open practice that I watched.
Right.
But by and large, Steve, I think the coaching staff, we've talked about how they have praised the players a lot more than what we've heard in the past. And while I think there's a certain degree of truth to that, I also think that they feel like these players have been kind of beaten up for several years.
Right.
And they need some encouragement. So I think that might be a part of the equation as well.
Right. Okay. Well, okay, guys. Orange White, is that Saturday or the next Saturday?
This Saturday,
okay. Okay. Is he going to be on TV?
Yes, SEC Network.
Yes.
SEC Network, okay. Okay. I got a friend that's wanting to know that. But anyway. Well, okay, fellas. Y'all hang in there. I guess you like the weather pretty good and enjoying yourselves up there, I suppose.
Always.
So, yeah. Well, okay, fellas. Thanks a lot, okay?
All right. Thank you. Do appreciate it, Steve. Vince, what do you think in terms of being smack dab into week 5 of spring practice and, of course, it all wrapping up this weekend?
Yeah, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but once it got going, that really we got to use a phrase of yours, finish line pretty quickly. And look, it's a positive that they've been able to get through it, and we're able to see them string together practices, a couple of scrimmages, one open and, or I guess two, a couple closed, but both of them were closed, and then an open practice as well, and we'll be able to see everything on Saturday also. So just happy that they're able to get through it. Looks like they will. And just to add to some of the players that, Jimmy, you were talking about to Steve, the players that have done really well. I think you might have mentioned him earlier in the show, and that's Byron Young coming off of that edge, that hybrid position. I really think he's going to end up – we've seen him a fair amount in the stand-up position. I think you're going to see him getting after the quarterback with his hand down a fair amount, especially in pass-rushing type of situations. I like Bryson Eason at that position also. Both of those guys stood out to me defensively. Elijah Simmons has been complimented by the offensive linemen and by the coaches. That's one of the great things about the coaches being so, one, available, two, open to mention and compliment individual players, is you can talk to some players and then go to a coach and say, hey, these guys said nice things about this player. Why has he had a good camp? And then it can kind of help you validate it, and then they can expand on maybe what one person said. You can go the other way with coaches and players as well. So I think it gives you a better idea of who maybe is just throwing out some names and who might legitimately be impressed by those players that are mentioned. So that's one of the nice things about having the access that we've been able to get from UT in spring practice. So obviously I've enjoyed that part of it also. And then I think overall the offense still, to me, even though the defense was complimented more in that Saturday scrimmage, I think the offense still is ahead in terms of guys that are getting praised, like Walker Merrill, who I really liked in watching him at the open practice on Saturday. And also just more options in terms of skill players and guys to get excited about. So it's been nice to have the access that we've had. And I think you can't run too far with all of the compliments, but I think it's encouraging because there seems to be a pretty nice camaraderie between the players and the coaches, and the buy-in is so huge for them to try to get anything accomplished with all the new systems and everything being new.
I don't know how in the world they're going to win a football game with all these open practices and coaches talking.
I know, Jimmy. And then if they talk about injuries, I mean, you talk about automatic to lose ball games. I mean, that's a difference maker when you mention somebody's not available. I mean,
yep, 0-11. I did want to go back to basketball right quick with what John Fulkerson said. Not only did he say that COVID impacted him, he thought it impacted a lot of players, the fans not being there, the lack of team chemistry also, because you couldn't have meals together and you couldn't have events and watch movies together. Your thoughts on what he said about the impact of COVID?
Well, I don't discount, you know, that being the case. The question is, and the only thing that the main thing that a lot of us have wondered is how much of a variance is there on that from program to program? Is that something that everybody has dealt with? So who handles it better is the ones that come out on top? Or is there a great variance in who had to deal with what? And it just may depend on the personality of the players on the roster and how tight they are. And maybe if you're used to being a tight-knit group, that it felt so different and maybe it impacted you versus a team that maybe is made up of guys that didn't have, they're a little bit more individual or in small groups that maybe didn't have that connectivity prior to. So that's what we don't know, and I don't know that John Fulkerson has a gauge on Tennessee had it had those things impact them more than other teams, therefore we didn't have the year that we wanted to. I'm not saying he's making excuses, but I'm just saying it's not something that you can tangibly be able to comprehend. But I absolutely think that it impacted student athletes in a lot of ways, and it was tough for him. And I think he was just verbalizing that, look, last year wasn't easy for anybody.
That's Vince Ferrara with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince's appearance is brought to you by Waters Equipment. Roger, who joins us. Hello, Roger.
Hey, John, Jimmy, and Vince. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, John. Doing fine. Thank you. Hey Vince, how you doing, buddy? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Roger. Weather is nice. Hope you're doing well and able to enjoy it as well.
It's fine. I just want to tell you, John, that you and Vince do a good job on baseball. Y'all do. I never seen. I heard that you're John. I guess I heard, but a friend of mine told me that you do a great job. Baseball, that you could be you could be a college baseball game. John, you're doing a good job, okay? And Vince did a good job of baseball.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Tell your friend thank you for me. You still with us, Roger?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. What was your question?
I just want to ask Vince about the own. Vince, I know the own what game is. I just want to ask you what kind of. And John, tell you what kind of stuff that are you kind of excited about singing Saturday? I know you got a lot of stuff that you can say, but what kind of stuff are you looking forward to singing Saturday, Vince? I'm Saturday.
It's a good question, Roger. I'll start. One is availability.
Okay.
Who are we able to see? Because at the open practice at Neyland Stadium, there were some guys that were held out. There have also been some guys that haven't been able to practice, and will we see any of them in an expanded role? You know, Tyler Barron was one of those, Jaquan Blakely. There's other guy, Jalen Hyatt, who has since come back. So I think the availability, who's held out, who's there, is one. Two, obviously the quarterbacks. You want to see if someone separates, especially if someone can really stand out and look more comfortable than everybody else. And then, you know, with Joe Milton coming in as a transfer, it makes you wonder what the coaches have thought about this group of quarterbacks to this point. We haven't been able to see Caden Salter, certainly five quarterbacks. I don't think you're keeping five scholarship quarterbacks. So does one look like they're ready to seize control of the job versus any of the others that might struggle that you might think, oh, man, maybe they could go elsewhere. I also want to see them generate some pass rush, whether it comes from those hybrid defensive outside linebacker / defensive ends or whether it's from their front four when they're in a four down line. They've got to get that. And then I think the running backs, that's an intriguing group, those running backs. You want to see some playmakers, some home run hitters. They need explosive plays out of this offense. They don't just need to grind it out with fast tempo. They need big plays also. And then my last thing, and this is not all that unusual, it's the line of scrimmage. Who's where on the O-line? How good do they look? And then you want to be able to get some push of the pocket on the D-line as well. So those are a few, but Roger, it'll just be great to see a lot of football at Neyland Stadium as long as we get a chance to see it in the team setting, which will be cool.
Jimmy, what are you looking forward to seeing?
A lot of what Vince said. Yeah. What I want to see is the quarterbacks in this up-tempo, are they on the same page with the receivers? I don't want to see quarterbacks throwing an out route and the receivers running a go route. So that communication. I also want to see what kind of depth they have at receiver. They're going to need at least five of them, right, with this offensive running. So I'll be interested to watch that too. And then, of course, at the line of scrimmage, Saturday, the open practice, the defensive line got whipped, and then the defensive line apparently asserted itself Saturday in the scrimmage we didn't see. So I'm going to be watching the line of scrimmage as well.
Vince, always a pleasure. If you would, tell folks what's coming up this week on In the Cage, MMA Radio.
Another big show as we continue to get big name guests nationally. As Brett Okamoto is a terrific reporter for ESPN, he will be our guest, one of our two guests, as well as Gerald Meerschaert, who is another one of the former Valor Fighting Challenge fighters that is now in the big time in the UFC. He now, after his submission victory last Saturday, holds the all-time middleweight record for submission victories in the UFC. He will join us also on the show. So really stacked. And then we're going to preview the UFC 261 pay-per-view. They're doing it in Jacksonville, full fan capacity. So we'll break all that down with three title fights. It'll be a lot of fun.
Look forward to that with you and Tim Loy. Vince, always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.